have heard me express my amusement over expressions and sayings that I have heard in different parts of the country. What we call Coke down here, regardless of what flavor it is, in Iowa, is pop. When living in East Tennessee, the first time my husband said to me, "I wouldn't care to do that," I thought he meant he didn't want to do it. Instead, what he meant was that he had no objections to the aforementioned activity. He picked up the saying from someone that he worked with. Now, when living in Iowa, I learned that everyone there knows what the expression knee-high by the 4th of July means. That's how tall your corn is supposed to be if you're going to stay on track for the anticipated harvest. And an Iowa chop, I learned, is not a Midwestern martial arts move, but rather a very thick cut of meat, pork to be precise. Language is a very interesting thing. It can unite, inspire, wound, divide people from one another. It can bring us together or tear us apart. In 1951, when linguist Richard Pitman produced a mimeographed list of the known languages of the world, his ethnologue, as he called it, identified 46 languages. Today's massive 15th edition of the ethnologue documents 7,299 known languages, including 103 previously unidentified in the 14th edition from the year 2000. From A Fala de Salima, which is spoken in Portugal, to Zayudin, which is spoken in the Urals. Ethnologue has distinguished itself as the best single source of information of all the known languages of the world, including almost 500 that are threatened with what they call language death, because they have fewer than 50 speakers. Language is fascinating. And it can be lethal. Throughout history, people have subjugated one another because of language. In the Old Testament, the Gileadites slaughtered 42,000 Ephraimites when the latter were exposed as the enemy because they mispronounced the word Shibboleth as Sibboleth. The orphan Moses learned Egyptian, how to speak it, learned the customs. And while the Babylonian exiles, Daniel and his three friends, were not only re-educated in a new language and literature, but they were also given new names. In the former Soviet Union, a country that used to be comprised of hundreds of ethno-linguistic groups in 11 time zones from east to west, the government stripped people of their ethnic identities by forcing everyone to speak Russian. Today, the shoe is on the other foot, and ethnic Russians who live in the former republics are sometimes forced to speak languages like Lithuanian or Latvian in school. Your accent here in the United States can betray you and give people a certain idea about you, or they have certain ideas about you. You identify a regional dialect and people make assumptions. Having grown up in the South, I can distinguish the difference between redneck slang and an aristocratic drawl. I learned to discern the difference between the nasal twang of the Iowans and the lingering Nordic accent of Minnesotans. Yeah, you betcha. They really say that. And when I spent a summer in New Jersey with school, I learned the fast-talking nasal sounds of the Northeasterners, and I had been living in East Tennessee at the time, and I can tell you they speak very slowly over there. Boy, did I ever feel like those Northeasterners when I would ask them to repeat something. They were thinking, that cracker. And just a few years ago in California, there was a big debate over what they called Ebonics, whether or not that was a celebration of cultural identity or a desecration of the language and maybe even an expression of racism. language has divided Christians too. Among the earliest followers of Jesus, strife emerged between the Greek-speaking Jews who complained that the Aramaic speakers overlooked their widows in the distribution of food. 1,000 years later, the Latin-speaking Catholic West and the Greek-speaking Orthodox East divided in the schism of 1054. During the Protestant Reformation, the Catholic Church banned translations of the scriptures into the everyday language of the people. Given the volatile dynamics of language, it is remarkable that in the transition from the early days of Jesus to the age of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church, God features human language to symbolize his kingdom community. In the book of Acts, Luke describes the first Pentecost, which Pentecost believers celebrate this Sunday as they have for almost 2,000 years. The term Pentecost comes from the Greek word Pentecostos, which means 50th. It was originally a Jewish festival, the Feast of Weeks, which happened 50 days after the Passover. And it was such an important festival that Jews from all over would make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem and come from various lands and countries, since they had been spread out through previous centuries of captivity and diaspora. And since about the second century, Christians have celebrated the coming of the Holy Spirit 50 days after the death and resurrection of Jesus on the Jewish feast of Pentecost. And with the descent of the Spirit came the birth of the church. You know, after Christmas and Easter, Pentecost is number 3 in line as the most important day in the church's year. Luke describes God-fearing Jews from every nation of the world as having converged upon Jerusalem for that festival. He mentions no less than 15 different ethnic or tribal groups with their own distinct language. Before he ascended, Jesus had instructed his followers not to leave Jerusalem until they received the Spirit whom he had promised. In Luke's narrative, a small band of about 120 followers of Jesus were there in Jerusalem, constantly in prayer. And suddenly the sounds of violent winds and the visions of tongues of fire fell upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They were together. They spoke to each other and understood one another. It was truly a miracle. A miracle involving speaking and listening. Peter mentions all the different people who heard in their own native tongue, but what was actually happening was that they were speaking the language of love. Through the love of God, known first in the covenant relationship with the people in Old Testament scriptures, then through the prophets, then the complete expression of God's love revealed in Jesus, it is made known and its power felt with the coming of the Holy Spirit. Some people in the crowd ridiculed the believers as being drunk. But Peter explained that it was, in fact, the power of God and the love of God come alive that they were experiencing. With God's Spirit, they were set ablaze. The Spirit was calling them. But it was no longer calling a small group of covenant people. God was calling not only Jews, but all people of all tongues, all colors, all nations, to a life full of the Spirit. In that very moment, the church was born. This new community of the Spirit celebrates, incorporates, and then transcends barriers of race, social stratification, economics, ethnicity, language, and gender. Diversity without division, unity without uniformity. These are the characteristics of the people of Christ. Pentecost and the birth of the faith community reverses the curse of the Tower of Babel. In those first pages of the Bible, language divided humanity in a flurry of confusion. And in the last pages of the Bible, the new community that began at Pentecost culminates in a festival of languages and colors of a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language. The power of God's Holy Spirit living within us is amazing. It is the one force great enough to turn enemies into friends, to take broken relationships and to mend them again, to heal wounded hearts, to turn strangers into brothers and sisters. It is through that power of the Spirit that we can look upon another and see in them the face and the presence of Christ. Through the Spirit's power, we hear them. We hear and understand who they are and what is in their heart. And we can look past their weaknesses, mistakes, and imperfections and see them as family, loved, transformed, redeemed, just like us. What began at Pentecost is still at work within us and among us. The power of the Holy Spirit brings healing, hope, and love like no other force on earth. Through the power of God and the Holy Spirit, we are made one. And together, we live toward the day when the glory of the Lord shines round, when God will make his home with us and all flesh will see it together. Come, Holy Spirit, Creator blessed, and in our souls take up thy rest. Come with thy grace and heavenly aid to fill the hearts which thou hast made. O Comforter, to thee we cry. O heavenly gift of God Most High. O fount of life and fire of love and sweet anointing from above. O may thy grace on us bestow, the Father and the Son to know, and thee through endless times confessed, of both the eternal Spirit blessed. Now to the Father and the Son, who rose from death, be glory given. With thou, O Holy Comforter, henceforth, by all in earth and heaven. Amen.